The sermon is based on the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 25. Today I want to speak to you about three great feasts to which we are all invited. Now the first two you're already familiar with. Those are feasts that occur here on earth. One has probably been on your mind already today and even in the week leading up to today. The Feast of Thanksgiving, the family celebration. And I'd like a show of hands. How many of you expect when you walk in the door after church that you will be smelling something roasting or cooking in the oven, perhaps a turkey or a ham? Show of hands. Or how about later this afternoon? Yes. Well, Thanksgiving is such an enjoyable feast, but we want to keep in mind that the purpose of this feast is to give thanks to the Lord from whom all these blessings flow. The blessings of family and home and friends, and certainly the blessings of the harvest, which are shown so beautifully here at our altar. But also the blessing of our nation. God has certainly given us more than we have deserved by placing us in a nation that is at peace at home and secure, and putting us even here in this special little corner of Ontario where we have not had to deal with things like hurricanes and earthquakes and wildfires and tornadoes and floods for the most part. We have much in terms of earthly physical blessings for which to give thanks to the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. All that you have experienced in your whole life, from the love of mother and father, of a husband or wife, daily bread, the opportunity to live, as I said, in this peaceful and beautiful land, health, the opportunity to get an education and to do meaningful work, to enjoy the fruits of your labors, as well as many blessings for which you did not work. For all this, on this day of Thanksgiving, we give thanks to God. Now we refer to these blessings quite often in terms of the Catechism as the first article. You remember when we confess that God is the maker of heaven and earth, we are confessing that He enriches us and blesses us with these things. But the second feast I want to tell you about is this feast that we celebrate weekly here at our altar. God invites us who have been baptized, who have received the gift of faith, who have been instructed, who have examined ourselves, who desire the forgiveness of sins, to come to His altar and freely receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this feast is called sometimes the Eucharist. And that is the Greek word for giving of thanks. It comes from the fact that when Jesus was at the Last Supper giving the body and blood, His body and blood, to His disciples, He took the bread and gave thanks. He took the wine and gave thanks, and then blessed them and gave them to His disciples. For the blessings of being part of the Christian community, the family of God, for freedom to worship, for the Word of God readily available to each of us in multiple translations in our own language, for our baptism, for those who instructed us in the Word of God, brought us to the Lord's house, for faith, for godly examples, for the blessings of the sacrament, for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of resurrection and eternal life in heaven, for these we also give thanks today. Finally, the third feast. I want us to take special notice of the Isaiah chapter 25 text. I will read it again. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine. Of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the feast at the end of time. We look forward to this feast. Consider, it says, on this mountain. Now, in the chapter preceding, chapter 24, Isaiah had told how the earth was defiled by the transgressions of the people who lived in it, both of the people of Israel and of the nations around, and that God was going to judge the earth. In fact, the earth would be made desolate. He gives details. He says that there will be no feasting in that time of judgment, and even the wine will fail. There will be no celebration, no singing, no mirth. But in this judgment, God will put down all the kings of the earth, and even put judgment on the hosts of heaven, it says. Then he will establish his throne on Mount Zion. He will rule in glory that will be known by all people. That is what happens just before these verses. This mountain that is referred to is a real geographical and historical place. Although, very likely, by the time this feast occurs, it will be the new heaven. So, all that has been associated with that wonderful place that David had captured as a fortress and made his capital city in Israel, the place where God had allowed Solomon to build him a house and invited the people to come, not only with their sacrifices and offerings, but to pray and have the promise that he would hear them. That is the place also where we know Jesus, the Lamb of God, offered himself and was sacrificed as the once and for all sacrifice for all sin. And he, on that mountain, conquered death and sin forever. So now, in the new heavens and the new earth, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. Consider that. No longer limited to the nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, but all peoples from the entire earth, people of every nation and language and tribe, people from every country. And this feast, in contrast to how desolate things had been because of God's judgment on sin and sinful people, cleansing the earth from all that evil. Now this feast will be celebrated in safety and security forever. And it will be a feast of the finest foods and the finest wine. God says, on this mountain he will swallow up that pall, that covering that is cast over people, all people who live on this earth, physical death and even spiritual death. Those who have been redeemed, those who have accepted his gracious invitation and through faith have been part of his family and have come to this feast at the end of time, from them he will remove the pall, the covering, the veil of death, and wipe away tears from all faces. I'm sure that probably almost all of us have gathered with our families for a Thanksgiving following the death of a loved one, and our joy has been bittersweet because that loved one is no longer joining us at that table, and we have so many memories. But we as Christians have this wonderful hope and assurance and confidence that we will be reunited with these loved ones who have died in the Lord. And in this great feast, there will be no more sorrow and missing those who are not there. Those who died in the Lord will be with us at this great feast. For all this, we will give thanks greater than ever before. We will worship the Lord with whole hearts, unendingly. But it is my heartfelt concern and prayer for each of us that those with whom we sit down today or tomorrow, all of them will know of Christ's gracious invitation to the feast of forgiveness of sins at the Lord's Supper, to the feast at the end of days. We don't want anyone who gathers with us, or anyone who is significant in our lives, or anyone to whom we can become significant in their lives, to not know of this invitation, to not know of the necessity to receive Christ and believe in Him and have the forgiveness and the assurance of eternal life. I pray that God will give us opportunity and courage to speak to those who have drifted from Him or who have never known Him, and to tell them of this feast. In the Holy Gospel, which we read together, that invitation was to the wedding feast of the king's son. I think it refers to the same feast, ultimately. And that invitation was not just, if you feel like it, if you'd like to come, if it's convenient. That invitation was a summons. And when the people, with ingratitude, refused to come, that's when He went out into the highways and byways, and His servants were to compel people to come. May we have that urgency so that no one that we have been called to give the gospel to will be missing on that day. As we go out from here today, we will continue in that giving of thanks in our homes and as we tell others of the goodness of the Lord and invite them to share in the feast of redemption here on earth and the glory of heaven. As Isaiah said, it will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Amen.